All right, welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and today I have Mr. Gilbert Val with me. He's a big part of how I found out about Bentonia and the Blue Front Cafe, and this is the 49th anniversary for the Blues Festival here. So, Gilbert, just a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved with Bentonia and Jimmy Duck?
Well, several years ago, there's, you know how the internet does. Said 10 things you need to see before you die in Mississippi. And it happened to be the Blue Front. And I showed up one day over here and saw it and came back the second time and just to do a little visit and then the festival. And then here we are now, number of years later, and we just live it now. And you know, and that opened up a lot of areas for me, even Clarksdale. I mean, it tend to open up other areas that I didn't even realize that was there in the music scene, blues.
Yeah. I know just from the time I met Philip and had him on, and then you and I connected, and I'm just now learning about Clarksdale. I haven't been there yet. You know, I'm still trying to learn everything here. Right. There's a lot going on in Mississippi.
Yes, and the thing is actually an unappreciated area of Mississippi that most people don't even know it's here. You know, and just like Galia, she played night before last here at the festival, and she's, I just felt it was right. She said, there's no country music without blues. There's no rock without blues. There's no Chicago blues without the blues. We're speaking of Mississippi blues. So it is so much connected back to Mississippi blues that the people don't even realize it. I don't even think the common person in Mississippi realized the assets of the blues. And even for tourism that we have here on the Blues Trail as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think about some of my favorite classic rock, like the Stones or Led Zeppelin. Well, they came to Mississippi for a reason.
Yes, they came. They searched out these people, and then they've taken what they've learned, and they've created themselves with their own identity. But it goes back to the old Mississippi Blues.
So how long has it been now since you've met Jimmy and been around the Blue Front?
I guess we're looking at 5 years. So see, actually as a blues fan, it's pretty young.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's just the way it was. You know, when I met him, we instantly hit it off as a friendship. But now, by the same token, you can walk through there and just don't mistreat people. And, you know, he's not going to mistreat you. And he's willing to give you everything. And like I said, it just happened. And we built that trust and built reliable to each other, loyal to each other, I guess. And he just, hey, I need this. Can you help me do this? Hey, can you help me do that?
Yeah.
You know, little things, you know, and it just built where it is now. We rebuilt the stage. He said, we got to rebuild the stage. This was, I think, in the 47th, maybe, or 46th. He said, we got to do this thing. So I called on some of the fans around here. We met over here, and we basically camped out and worked 3 days and did the stage at the farm. Mm-hmm. But now the tornadoes came and some things, and it tore it up. But that's neither here nor there.
Right. So 5 years you've been helping run the Blues Fest,
right
here, and just helping out the Blue Front.
5 years ago, and then as it went, I'm still a fan, and,
yeah.
And that's what I. But it seemed like each year it's been a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and then there was some other people that was helping, and they were getting older, so someone had to help Jimmy.
Yeah,
because there was more people last night here at the festival than maybe has even come in a whole week 20 years ago. I mean, when you have 1,000 people show up on a night, you have to have it. You got to have somebody help you park. You got to have trash pickup. You got to have, you know, security, which there's never any problems, but you still have to have those people. So he can't do it by himself anymore.
Yeah, it's getting too big.
Yes.
So, back before Blue Front and Jimmy, you originally from Philadelphia?
Yes, Philadelphia, Mississippi.
What did life look like that before you was looking at that list of 10 things you had to experience?
Well, you know, I was always an adventurer. I mean, I deer hunt. That has kind of slowed down because I've changed interest.
Yeah.
You know, but I still like to hunt, okay? You know, I kayak with the family. We camp. you know. So, you know, we still do a lot of that. That's what I was, an outdoors guy, you know. Been to the bottom of the Grand Canyon with the family hiking. So,
oh, man.
You know, we slowed down on some things and added on to here. And then with age, there's things that you change because of age, you know. When my kids was little, we was at the ballpark every night.
Yeah.
Now we don't do that, so maybe the blues is taking up that part of it.
Yeah, sure.
In a way.
Yeah. And just like with, we got what the, is it the 49th anniversary party for the Blue Front coming up?
Okay, this is the 49th
festival
now, and it will be the 73rd anniversary for the Blue Front. So the Blue Front, it basically is a birthday party for the Blue Front, and that'll be September the 17th and 18th of this year.
Okay.
You know, it's called an anniversary, but you can call it a birthday party if you want to, for the Blue Front Cafe.
Okay. And has that got kind of the same feel as the festival? Or
yes, it? Yes. But, you know, it's just a weekend, but we'll have the lineup on Friday and Saturday. So, you know, if you've been to the festival, it'll be the same. You know, I can't tell you who the artist will be yet, but we'll, same feel, the same go.
Same feel.
Mm-hmm. No cost. Come on.
Yeah.
We're going to enjoy a weekend.
Yeah, that's something about it. It's like, that's another thing is, it takes me 3 hours to get down here, but I don't care. You know, just...
It doesn't matter, does it?
It doesn't matter because some of the best people you'll ever meet in your life, it's free, and we got some damn good food here.
Yes. And, you know, you're saying that, and I've said some things, and I think maybe this morning we were sitting around drinking coffee, and, you know... I made a statement. I said, you know, there's money being left on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That doesn't mean that Jimmy or anybody is greedy and want the money. That's not what I was saying. But Jimmy wants the festival free. It doesn't matter if you are a wealthy family or not.
Yeah.
If you like the music, you like it, he wants you to be able to come.
Yeah.
It's not a discrimination if you money or not. Black or white, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
If you like it, come.
That's so, one thing I really love
Jimmy,
about this place.
What he does is, in a sense, that's what he does is he runs a Blue Front, and I won't say it's a weekly thing, but he takes a little bit this week and puts over in his festival kit. A little at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way he builds it. Now, you know, there is a... I will say this, at Visit Mississippi, which is the tourism, they were his biggest sponsor, and they did do a good bit, which helped by far. But one of their things was, we want this to go to our Mississippi artists this year because of the pandemic. And most people don't even know that.
Yeah.
You know, so it was Visit Mississippi through the tourism. So, and we did that.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, even like with Mississippi and Massachusetts came together this year, right? As far as the blues commissioners?
Right. It was actually the Massachusetts Humanities Society and the Mississippi Humanities Society tied in with the blues of both ends. Thursday, they wanted to do it, Jimmy show it, you know, because there is a lot of blues associated in Massachusetts out of Mississippi. You don't think it that way, but it is. And just so happened, Ryan Lee Crosby from Boston was playing Thursday. Scott Beretta and the ones that were setting this up had no idea that Ryan was even playing. So it, I, you know, I'm not a big religious man altogether, but I think the good Lord put that together on Thursday.
Yeah.
Just to show the connection between the two.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, Jimmy and Ryan, I don't know all the history behind those two right now, but I see a lot of Ryan's stuff on the wall.
Well, you know, I don't want to take the full responsibility for it, because once you introduce somebody, it's up to them to make a relationship.
Yeah.
If you introduce somebody. I found Ryan Lee on the internet, and I loved his music.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then a few months later, as we kind of did a little bit of correspondence, and he realized I was following him, and I made some statements, and, you know, he's all positive. He reached out to me because I had some post on Facebook of the Blue Front and some things. Well, he asked me, did I know Jimmy? And I was really reluctant to even go very far because I don't know Ryan Lee. I didn't know where he was headed. Was it the wrong person? But I knew I liked his music. So then I realized that he was I felt that he was very genuine. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a genuine reason he wanted to ask him or asking me those questions. And that happened around August. He was here in February and played his first gig at the Blue Front in February. So we're only talking about 9 months.
Yeah.
And it's on. I mean, they fell in love. And I even want to say this. Ryan has been one of the largest contributors as a sponsor to this festival. I mean, when he was doing his classes, his schoolings, because he teaches guitar, like on any given day, he'll say, okay, everything that's on PayPal today and tipping, half of it's going to the Blue Front.
Yeah.
So he's become a big part of this. A lot may not know it, but he is. He's a big part of it.
Yeah, and even when, I tell Philip all the time, I don't even remember how he and I got connected. And then shortly after that, you and I got connected, and he shared the story about, you know, y'all's boy, or him and your boy went to school together, and that was the connection. And then Philip, a good guitarist in his own right, and then he gets exposed to Jimmy, and it's just like a brand new level.
Yes, and you know, even Philip, I've seen Philip play, you know, and as a kid growing up at the ball field with my son and things. You know, and I knew Philip's daddy, but we weren't close, but we were all just families at the ballpark, mm-hmm. at the school. Well, he's playing, he's, you know, in a band, doing things, doing a little of his own thing. And I said, you need to go over sometime with me. Well, I'm not sure he knew what was going on. Yeah, I want to go over. And actually, I said, well, come on, let's go with me. You can stay with me in my motor home, or my camper. I'll take it over. You can stay with me. Just grab that weekend. We're going to do something that weekend. And it was the release of the Cypress Grove album, which was November the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're a year and 8 or 9 months later. He came to my house. He really didn't even know where Bentonia was, because he thought we was going way up toward Clarksdale. So I don't know if he hadn't looked or not. Man, it's not that far as I thought. That day, he met Jimmy. He's on. He was on. It's on. It's on. You know, they made a connection within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I really feel, in some way, I kind of pull Philip over here, because he wasn't sure. I don't know if he was scared or just, and I'm not saying that in a bad way, you know, but I kept making the opportunities. All you got to do is go. You don't need anything. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's go. And that's where we are today. So you know what Philip's doing now. He's fell in love. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah. And even like, I mean, just setting me up back here in the back and be able to interview. I really appreciate everything you've done for the show, man. And just for me, like I've got to sit down and have a few conversations with Jimmy, and man, he's just a salt of the earth human being, you know.
Yes, he is. Yesterday he had an interview. We did an interview with him, or Jimmy did an interview, and he told a story on Jack Owens yesterday. You know, I'm going to share it. I mean, this is just something he said probably most people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Jack Owens' house was on fire. And the fire chief and them got there fighting the fire. He said, y'all just make sure y'all take care of the house. I got to go get my money. And he came out with, Jimmy said, a small suitcase and a bucket. The bucket had coins in it. The suitcase had cash in it. He didn't believe in using the bank.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be $10. It could have been $1,000. I don't know.
Yeah.
But what's so strange about that, Jimmy told that story yesterday, because the interview was basically about Jack Owens, from what Jimmy knew about Jack Owens. You know, the interview was about Jack, but that's what it is. What's so strange about it, we left an hour later with Jimmy's brother in the car with us to go to Jack Owens' house,
mm-hmm.
and on a little area in this area that they want to show us. And his brother told the exact story, word for word, and did not even know that Jimmy had told that in the interview. So there's truth to it. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah. You heard it from one, you heard it from the other.
Yes. And neither one knew the other one said it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's
that's wild. You know, like, with just in this area, I think with, like, hill country blues or blues in general, I think there would definitely be a lot of that with those guys not trusting the banks and all.
Yes. That was just the way it was.
Yeah, and why would you? Then. Yeah, you know.
You know, so it is. Here we are.
Yeah. And so to close out the festival, to give people an idea, we got Ryan Lee Crosby coming back to play today.
Yeah.
I'm sure RL and Lightning, Malcolm will be back.
Yes.
Is Nick Wade playing again today?
Nick Wade's playing first, then Ryan Lee Crosby, and then Deke Harp is playing. And then Fallen Deke will be... This was really the only scheduled time that Duck was actually... have a time to play, because during the week it's when his desire.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it's gonna be RL and him. RL, Duck, and Lightning will go on stage at the same time and come off at the same time. They don't have different sets. Now, to rekindle this, last night was the first time that RL and Jimmy and Lightning has been on the stage at the same time.
And it was magic.
Now, they've all played together. Like, RL and Jimmy. Or Lightning and RL. Lightning or Jimmy. It didn't matter. Any comment. But they never played three together till last night. And a good fan here that lives in Florida, Mississippi, by the name of Michael Poole. I'm not sure if you met him last night.
I haven't met Michael.
Michael Poole is the one that planted that seed to me. Back about 6-7 weeks ago, Lightning was up here playing with Jimmy that on a Saturday night, and I was up here, and he said, we need to get all three of them to play together. I said, you know, let's do it. Let's make that a time at the festival. So that's what tomorrow was about. Last night was, that's the reason I put Lightning and
RL so close
back to back, because that would be the timing that Jimmy usually likes to play, and I knew they would call Jimmy up to play.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like a setup, but here we are. I mean, we had it. You saw it. You had two Grammy nominees. Lightning ought to be a Grammy nominee too, but okay, hopefully he gets it.
Yeah, and that was I remember right when Lightning stepped up, and then RL, and then I heard an extra guitar, and I just looked over at Hunter and I said, I'll be right back, something's happening. And I walked up to the stage to where I could see it, and RL and Lightning was sitting together, and then it wasn't too much longer and I heard another guitar and I heard Jimmy's voice, and I was like, we're about to have something real special.
Yes, and it was.
And I mean, even like, this is my second time to be down for shows, but like, I love following the Blue Front Cafe on social media just to see what's going on, because there's always something going.
Oh, yeah. And usually the best is not scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
I got a small story. Like I said, here we're just chatting, we're talking, we're sharing, and you know, that sort of Galia that played on Thursday night.
I missed that too.
Yeah. She had a gig in Vicksburg. Not long ago, within the last couple months.
Mm-hmm.
I was at work. I wasn't even here. And she called and said, look, Gil, can I play the Blue Front tonight? I've had to cancel the gig in Vicksburg because my car broke down in Jackson. I can't get to Vicksburg. But I can get to the Blue Front. It's only 45 miles away. Mm-hmm. I can get a ride up there.
Mm-hmm.
I called Jimmy. I said, Jimmy, it's 5 o'clock. Can Galia play tonight? Tips only. She needs to make some money to get her car fixed. Tell her to come on. I throwed it on social media right quick. She got enough to get her car fixed and back to New Orleans the next day.
Hey, there you go.
I mean, and it wound up being 50 or 60 people this night. I mean, it's just the way it is. You never know what's going to happen sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way.
Yeah, I know, talking with Rex and Heather, they said that she put on a heck of a show.
Oh, she's a wonderful girl. Wonderful girl. You know, and I'm not saying that. The thing is about the women, that I may say it that way, is there's something about them playing the blues that's different than men.
Mm-hmm.
And they draw a crowd, but they have their own within themselves, you know, and we draw to it. Not because they're female, it's just the way they present themselves with it. There is Pochette Howard's gonna close out Saturday night, which is tonight,
mm-hmm.
for the festival. Let me tell you what, she's a closer. She's a crowd. I'm telling you, if you stay, you're going to see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'll be here.
And when she does whiskey, Tennessee whiskey, if somebody doesn't stop me, I'm going to be up under her arms tonight because that's my favorite song, and me and her have done it more than once. I can't sing, but we're going to be, I'm going to be there with her. I'm just going to be, you're going to see, I mean, she just.
Well, I got to stay for that.
I mean, I'm just saying, you have got to see her perform. I mean, you know, it just happens. Australia Honeybee out of Indianola. Her last name is Jones. Her brother, I don't remember his name offhand. He taught her to play. She's bad, okay? I mean, it's just what it is. You know, the women is not out there that much in the blues. I know we have Samantha Fitt, you know, some of those, but that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about the Mississippi blues.
That's right.
Sitting here. You know, it's not many, but they're good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, and it's like Mississippi blues, anytime someone is staking out to do that. I remember it was the first time we booked Groove Johnson to play at Munson Brothers, which is a venue I help out at. And, you know, not a lot of people were familiar, and I was like, just come. I was like, you ain't never heard music like this.
Just come up here.
Just come. And they were doing the sound check, and a couple of the guys I invited to that was like, you serious? I said, this is the sound check. Would you relax? And the moment Philip and Matt went on and started doing their thing, you saw their hair get blown back, and they was like, what is this?
Right.
And I was like, it's Mississippi.
Well, Charlie Musselwhite, which he's a harmonica player, well-known in the industry, he has a saying. And, I mean, he's been quoted more than once with it. You'll like the blues when you're introduced to it.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
You'd be a fool not to, yeah. I mean, like you said earlier, rock and roll, country, you wouldn't have it. Even punk rock, like I tell people all the time, and they get a kick out of it, is like punk rock is just the blues and fast forward. Like all your favorite genres of the day, you wouldn't have. Ain't no way.
No.
It came from this.
You know, and we know this just recently. We haven't talked about it at all, really. The Black Keys, you know, did their album here for Dream, and Jimmy went up there and did the Easy Eye, the album, Cypher Cruise with them. Do you realize their roots is the Mississippi blues, even though they're from Ohio? This is what they loved, and this is what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, it was kind of a quiet deal. It was happening, but everybody didn't know it. I mean, it's some of the best advertisement for the Blue Front ever. You can't buy that kind of advertisement.
No, it's Dan Arbach.
Yeah, you can't buy it. I mean, you can't buy it. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then when they did, they recorded it here, and then they did a live stream, and everybody thought the Black Keys was going to be here that Saturday night. It was a live stream only. But it was recorded today. They were here recording some of that for their album.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But, like I said, there's even a big poster board that the Black Keys had made for their album. What'd they do? They sent it, presented it to Jimmy. Well, he hung it up last week. It's in there. It'll be there forever.
Yeah.
You know, it's history. A lot of history here.
Yeah. It's like, since I found out about this place, got introduced to you and Philip, it seems like this place has just been up and up. And, I mean, it goes to the Black Keys, Dan Arbach, Easy Eye, and just, I mean, you got a lot of skin in the game as far as getting people introduced and getting people out here, and I'm excited about the future for this place.
I am too. I mean, you know, it's been around. I mean, I have been sitting over here. I live an hour and a half away, you know, over in Philadelphia, and I've been sitting here, just kind of come over one day. My wife's at work, and I ease over that day, just have a little visit. Two of us drove up. Didn't anybody even know it was coming. 50 people get off of it. These people paid travel agency $7,000 to follow the blues from New Orleans to Chicago, and this was one of their stops.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew that's coming. I've been here when people from Germany have been here, Spain been here, Italy been here, Australia, just any given day. You never know who's stopping by. You know?
Yeah, it's crazy to me. It's world famous, but at the same time, like, someone an hour away might not even know where Bentoni is.
You know what's up? I'll tell you exactly what happened on this deal. When I saw the Blue Front, when I told you I saw on the internet 10 things you need to see in Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
there's a feed store next door.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know I've stopped in that feed store 100 times going to the deer camp by Salt Lake and never even knew this place was here?
Never even.
And I've been hunting nowhere all my life. And this was a convenient place to stop. Never knew it. So
he was right next door.
I was
door.
Next door and didn't even know it for many years.
It happens like that, though, you know.
My uncle is 80 years old, and he said he sat in the truck on the tailgate when he was little, next door at the gym. Because
mm-hmm.
he wasn't allowed to come over here because it was a majority black people. But he would sit on the tailgate of his daddy's truck and hear them playing over here. But I'm just saying a story that my uncle told me.
Yeah.
You know, he always told us he was from Yazoo City. But really the reason he said that was nobody knew about Bentonia. So I'm from Bentonia. Where's that? I'm from Yazoo City.
Okay.
Yeah, I know where,
know
that,
where
is.
That is.
So it's just that's, I'm just saying what it was. So,
yeah. You know. Same with me with Kennedy. I just tell people Columbus. You know, it's like
yeah, that. That's, yeah.
Yeah. Proximity, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, man, just in closing, there is the birthday party coming up. Is there anything that we haven't mentioned coming up for the Blue Front or any kind of announcements to be made?
No, at this point, it's not anything. We're just closing this out, and then we will start working on the festival. I mean, on the anniversary, September the 17th and 18th. You know, we kind of know what's going to go on there, but nothing's in stone yet. But the biggest thing is that we're really fixing to work on is the 50th Bentonia Fest is a year away.
Mm-hmm.
When we close out tonight, we're going to take a little rest from it and we'll start working on it. And the biggest thing is donations. You know, you can get with Porch Talk if you want to donate. He can get with me. We'll share numbers, ever how we can do it to make it.
What is the best way? Like, because sometimes I do events, and I mean, I would love to do like Ryan Lee.
Well,
and
you know, you can do, if you want to donate to the festival, if you have PayPal, you can do jdh39040@yahoo.com, which is Jimmy's initials and the zip code for Bentonia. And it'll come up Blue Front Cafe in your notes. Put in there, festival. You want to donate to the festival, do it. It'll come right through. We have access to it and do it. That'll be the easiest way to do it. And funding is going to make a lot of difference mm-hmm. of who is here or not. I don't want to say anything that's not true at all about it, but we are looking at some entertainment that I think that's, well, all of our blues is world class, but we're talking about a world class here next year, you know.
All right.
It's going to be costly. I feel that. Let me say that. You know, unless they just feel so drawn to this, let's just do it. Don't matter. We're not doing it for money. Let's just do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the direction we're looking at it at someone. So it's really, you know, not to change subject, and it's not really change subject, but speaking of that, not that this is who we're talking about, because it's really not. Is, I mean, Bobby Rush has played here.
Wow.
On a Saturday night, you know. This was years ago. I mean, he played in 2010, which is only 11, you know, it's not been that long ago. He was on Saturday Headliner. So, I mean, you know, last July, Kingfish was here with some students. Nobody knew he was here. I did.
Yeah.
He's over here with the humanity through the scholar, through, I forget whatever. They give Jimmy so much money to teach young men or young students his style. And Kingfish was the head, was behind that, and he was here. I got a beautiful video of him. So, you know, you're talking about names, I see it, you know. So we're working on a big one. We'll have a big one on the 50th, okay?
Perfect. Well, yeah. Gilbert, thank you so much, man, just everything you've done for Porch Talk and just continuing to be so good to me. And, man, I really appreciate just knowing you, man.
Yeah, all right. Well, all I say is I'm here to help you, help anybody that I can,
mm-hmm.
and just pay it forward. That's all that matters.
There you okay? go. Well, we're out of here, man. Thank you so
all
much.
Right. Thank you.
When the sun goes down low, hold the moon. can feel it in your bones now. There is a deadly chill. This is the time when start to blue to black. And when the world dying, start to blue to black. In the darkness I saw that she ain't never coming
is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.